2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, taking your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I was kind of worried. I got anxiety there when he hit the breaking news sounder. Ton is like, no, I'm back in the weekday. This is supposed to be the relaxing show. I don't have any breaking news for you. Except that this morning, we are with Ovation Homes. We are in West Point at the Cottages at Harvest Field Subdivision. Laurie's with us, and really such a beautiful place. Laurie, thanks for having us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk about the materials that go into your homes.
So the materials that we put into our homes, as far as the interior finishes and things like that, our cabinetry is Naughty Alder included. Our drawers that they build our drawers out of are plywood drawers, with dovetail. We do a soft close hinge on all of our doors in our kitchens and bathrooms and everything. Countertops are either quartz or granite, mm-hmm. All included. In the bathrooms, we use a product called Piedrafina, which is a granite composite that is crushed and then put back together with resin. So we can get a super clean finish in there. You don't have to have the busyness of granite in a bathroom if you don't want it. You can just have a simple white for an included price. We don't have to upgrade that or anything. We try and do our finishes so that we don't have to upgrade, so that a buyer can come in and choose the finishes that they want in their homes and still stay at a good price. Most buyers do want to come in, though, and personalize their home and make it what they want. And we'll spend a little bit of extra money, but we try and pride ourselves in the fact that they can build a beautiful home without having to upgrade anything.
Well, it's so nice to be able to come into a home like this and know that the builder isn't using the absolute cheapest everything they can and try to charge you thousands of dollars to upgrade to what you should already have in there in the first place. And, you know, and you get the dishwasher that breaks in 4 years and the stove that won't heat anything correctly. It either burns it or won't boil. And, you know, it's so nice to just walk into a situation like this and have things ready to go that will last.
Yep, for sure. As far as the cabinetry and things like that, we do adult height cabinetry in all of the bathrooms, so you don't have a short little, you know, vanity. Mm-hmm. I just recently just redid my vanity, and it was a breath of fresh air. I got rid of the one that I had to stoop.
Well,
with
30
and
years
I'm not
ago,
tall.
They were much shorter.
Yeah.
They put in much shorter. I redid mine recently, too, yeah. And the difference is amazing.
Yeah, and I'm not a tall person, so, right. You know, like, when you really notice, it's like, oh, wow, I can stand up straight to my countertop, so that makes it really nice. We just try and do the very best we can as far as finishes go so that everything is nice.
But I do like how you personalize it, allow yes. people to do those personal touches on
well,
their own.
One thing I liked that was mentioned earlier is that you can customize these with options instead of having to go totally custom. You know, if you have a family that gets together a lot and people come in from out of town quite frequently, you have a loft option that right. opens up a lot of room for people to stay for games or whatever you want to do. And so not only do you have the main floor, which is totally accessible, but there's options so that if you have lots of people visiting, you know, frequently, you can accommodate that.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that's one thing I said earlier is that with the personalization options we've got, you know, that is where we do listen to our buyers and we let them make those choices. And if there's something that they really see that is a great option, our agents are great to take that back to the office and then we can reincorporate those into future plans. So it's,
I hope people
it's
will
nice.
Come out today and just see how beautiful this home is. The open house until 11, and then again from noon to 4. Easy to find in West Point, west on Antelope Drive to 4000 West. Easy to find if you follow my directions, I should say. Turn right or north and go to 1200 South, and then turn left and look for all the signs. And for the next 20 minutes, you'll actually see the KSL van out there as well. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you guys for being here.
Our next listener, Ton, says, hey, when should they start cutting their lawn shorter to prepare for winter, and how short should it be when they're done mowing for the year?
Leave it long for now, and the last mowing in late October, early November is when you cut it shorter.
Okay. When is the best place to go and find, or where is the best place, rather, to go and find information on pruning grapes, how to do it, and when to do it?
Leave the grapes alone for now. Just put the
pruners away.
We're getting closer and closer to the pruner intervention. But
so they're going to get mine out really fast, right?
Yes. USU has a new grape pruning fact sheet out. You want to prune those grapes in late March. A lot of books will say for our area mid-January, and the reason we don't is that grapes seem to take a lot of winter damage here if they're pruned where you would in January. So we accept the fact that they're going to maybe drip sap for a couple of weeks after pruning in favor of them not winter killing, and that's the dripping sap doesn't seem to hurt them.
All right. When is the best time to transplant a magnolia tree?
It's
about 15 years old.
Yeah.
In Harriman, and it's remained about the same size.
Late fall or early spring. So we're talking after November 1st or before March 15th.
Okay. Next person has a golden thyme as a ground cover. Can they mow it or weed it for the winter? This is Nancy and Morgan.
They can weed it, yes. It's an edible, so you can use it for cooking. As far as an herb, I wouldn't just mix up a pot of thyme and have at it. But
okay.
I'd avoid that. I mean, I definitely would do that with like some mac and cheese
love
or something.
I smell of
but
thyme, I have to
yes.
tell you. Just rubbing
but, yeah,
against it outside.
It's an edible,
so nice.
But get it cleaned out and it will be fine. Don't overwater it. If it is in a real wet situation over the winter, it can have some snow on it. But if it's too wet, it usually will not overwinter. But otherwise, it should be fine.
Can Center Glow Nine Bark be trimmed and still look good?
Yes, most of the nine barks need to be trimmed because they will get to look like Cousin It if you don't. So from the Addams Family.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit dated,
like
but
that.
So if you want that Addams Family Cousin It look, don't trim them. Otherwise, in the spring, if you just give them a light haircut, it keeps them a lot bushier.
All right. Next person would like to know if they should harvest their peppers or wait until the first frost. They have the late-producing habaneros.
Okay, so habaneros are unique, and they might actually want to get something to cover it with because the habaneros are a super long-season pepper. And so they oftentimes don't ripen until mid-October. So they're going to want to get like a cloche or something to put over the top or a small low tunnel to keep them going. Otherwise, they won't ripen.
Okay.
Now, that does bring up something I wanted to talk about on waiting for frost to harvest things, especially apples. Don't. We have gotten so warm that if you have ripe Gala apples in late August, don't wait till October 15th because then you'll have fermented apples.
Why? I mean, you just pick them when they're ripe. Why would you wait? Why were people waiting?
The theory is that the frost forces the fruit to have more sugar in it.
Oh, which was our next question. Can you tell me what nighttime temperatures apples need to ripen and sweeten
you
up?
You need to pick them when they are ripe and not wait for frost. Okay. Some of the apples, like Golden Delicious, used to be an early to mid-October apple, but over the last 20 years, they're late September. So just pick them when they're ripe, and the trick is to pick the apples and get them into cold storage fast. So if you pick those and let them sit at room temperature, they won't store well and they lose their flavor quickly. And so you pick them and put them into the refrigerator to keep that quality up so they'll last longer.
All right, we're going to take a break. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Again, we are coming to you from West Point in Ovation Homes property here. The cottage is at Harvest Fields. You can find us. All you have to do is go west on Antelope Drive to 4000 West. Turn right or north and go to 12 South and then turn left.
I'm Dave Cawley.
investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for The Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are with Ovation Homes in West Point at the Cottages at Harvest Fields. Amber is back with us. And Amber, there's always that uncomfortable question. And we're looking at this beautiful home and people go, but how much is it?
Exactly. You know, the whole discussion of affordability, attainability, and housing, I mean, you know, we've all seen the headlines, right? So I think as having been in this industry for so long, you see peaks, you see valleys and different things like that. But the one thing that I've learned is that I don't really know if there ever is a right time. The best time to invest in real estate is when you're ready and you have that life change that you need to invest in. And that's what I love about our product, because it really represents a turning point usually in folks, you know, retirement and that type of thing of a new adventure that's going to start. So What we look at with pricing, though, is especially, you know, along the Wasatch Front, most of our clients have lived in a home for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. They've raised their family and that type of thing. And so knowing that they have to invest in a new home always is a little bit harder of a discussion. But we always try to look at the pricing that we have and make sure that obviously it's competitive within the marketplace. But it also, you know, envelops the quality that Larry spoke about in the last segment, to make sure that we are putting the quality finishes into the home that are going to last a lifetime. And so in this particular project, our base plan that we have that's called the Willow, it is a two-car garage versus this one that's a three. It actually starts at $489,900, which is a very good price in the market. Now, some of your listeners might be like, what? That's crazy. And it is true. Home prices have definitely ticked up, and you're going to get different pricing down in Salt Lake than you will up here.
Well, the great thing about this is that you're right off Antelope Drive, so there's freeway access.
Yes.
As long as there's not congestion within a half hour to 40 minutes of Salt Lake City. And for the home, I was looking at some homes in the last couple of months in the Salt Lake area, and for a home with about 500 less square footage, it was over $1 million. And it didn't have the features of this home.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And that's why I think it's so important as you're going on this journey with home buying. I mean, the internet's great and we can all do our searches and that type of thing, but you have to come out and you have to experience. You have to walk it. You know, we encourage our clients to come and look at multiple plans to see what kind of fits best with them. And even at different phases of the construction, I think that's one of the best things to look at when you're looking at a builder is what it looks like with the finished product, but
what
does it look like underneath? And so going out and you know, going with a community agent to look at different job sites and different phases of construction, I think is very educational as well. And I think it makes you a much better buyer. But yeah, we love it. And we actually love it out here too. We're seeing signs of legacy actually extending out here,
nice.
Which, you know, growth is always a little bit of an eye roller out here in the country, because we do love our country feel out here. But having legacy, I think, is going to be even wonderful for those out west, because, you know, as we continue to grow here in our state, you know, that's where the land is going, as you get a little bit further and further out west. And so having those roads and thoroughfares come in is a really great opportunity.
Well,
too.
I hope people come out and enjoy this beautiful
Please come.
Open house day. You have really yummy goodies too. Let's tell them that. Come out and see us. We're going to be here till 11, but you'll have an open house from noon to 4.
Yep, we're going to be here.
People can't get out in the next few minutes. They're going to be here all day. The way to get here, west on Antelope Drive to 4000 West, turn right or north and go to 1200 South and then turn left. Look for all the signs.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us today. Let's go to the phone lines. Dale's in Riverton. Hi, Dale. What is your question?
Hi, good morning. It's a beautiful day to work outside, I'll tell you that much.
No doubt about it, Dale.
I have a couple of tomato questions and maybe one far blight question if you have time. On my tomatoes, I have several celebrity plants, and in previous years, they've gotten a black spot on them. This year, there's not the black spot. This year, most of them have a star-shaped wound on the top, and I just wonder if that is a... You know what kind of problem that is, or is that just a natural thing?
It may be from rapid growth. You know, it's not necessarily drought stressed, but it's hot, and all of a sudden we get rain, which like we did 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it gets this rapid growth spurt. And a lot of times when you see that star up there cracking on it, that is from rapid growth.
Okay, so, and the black spots, what would they have been from?
Are you talking on the bottom of the tomato? The bottom portion.
On the bottom.
That's blossom end rot. And when the flower is pollinated, the plant had a lack of calcium in the system, and that black spot is a result. Now, we have plenty of calcium in our soil, and it's more common when earlier in the season when the tomatoes are, you know, flowering, but we'll go from 90 degrees to 70, back up to 90, and then we get rain. Sporadic irrigation and temperature fluctuations are what cause those black spots, the blossom end rot.
Okay, great. Thank you. Question about the fire blight, if you got time. I have two Asian pears next to each other. One of them has been suffered from the fire blight, and it's about... I've been cutting off as it's been affected, and so it's down to about maybe 25% of what it used to be. But now that fire blight's starting to spread to the Asian pear next to it, and I'm wondering what I can do to salvage that tree.
Well, keep it cut out
now or in the spring.
Yeah, keep it cut out whenever you see it, no matter the season, and cut 6 inches beyond where you see the damage stop. So that's going to be one thing, okay. And then it's going to be imperative that you use a fire blight spray when those trees are in blossom next year and every year. And these fire blight sprays will help prevent the bacteria from being introduced into the tree. They're not 100%, but they do help out quite a bit.
So is that after they bloom or just
no,
right before
while
they
they're
bloom?
Blooming. It's one of the only things you would ever spray on a tree while they're blooming. The fire blight sprays do not harm pollinators, but they do protect the tree from fire blight.
Okay, awesome, great. Do you have time for one more question?
Nope, we certainly do not. Yeah, we're at the end. Thank you so much for your call this morning. We didn't get to Leanna, but I did want to answer her question. She says, should she prune her roses right now?
Unless you're just cutting off flowers, no. Later on in the season, you can cut them back enough so that snow doesn't split them out, but prune them in mid-March.
Thank you so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show this morning. If you'd still like to come out to the open house this morning at Ovation Homes, the cottages at Harvest Fields, all you need to do is turn left on or turn west on Antelope Drive to 4000 West, turn right or north, and then go to 12 South and turn left, and the open house will continue from noon to 4. Have a great afternoon and a great weekend.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.